I don't need nobody's help. I sure don't know what's at the core of this masochistic personality, but I'm beginning to suspect I've always been my own worst enemy. Well, alright, I'll shut up now, I've said enough. That's for damn sure.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Shukri Wright Show, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. Thank you for starting your Saturday morning on with the show, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your day. It's another Saturday, and it's another beautiful Saturday morning here in Medford in the greater Boston area. And, you know, especially now that we're hitting late July and with the big news that, in fact, we are going to be in the middle of a big heat wave today and tomorrow, that I cannot believe how many people are still gonna make their way out to the beach, you know, and so forth. So I wanted to start off the show by saying, whatever you do today, stay cool. Stay cool. You know, stay relaxed. Don't get yourself too worked up. And if you can start the morning by listening to this show, absolutely wonderful. Great way to start your Saturday. So, you know, this morning, as I was making my way in, I had a thought that actually occurred to me, and it has everything to do with the Boston Red Sox, but even as it pertains to sports in general. And I'm amazed how we have come to a certain point of the season, especially in the major league season so far, that you have a pretty good idea as to who is what in terms of the team, in terms of the team identity, in terms of the type of team that you have, and as for where you currently situate. Now, where you currently are situated has no bearing as to where you will finish at the end of the season, whether if it's in baseball, hockey, the NBA, and so forth. But I can't help but begin to think and wonder if you have not curbed any particular bad tendencies or bad habits that has defined your team at any late stage of the season, you are who you are. You are who you are. You know, sports has a very fascinating way to exposing the true identity of a team, especially across all professional sports and even collegiate sports. It's rare that you have a Cinderella type of team in sports. It's very rare. And in Major League Baseball, we haven't seen that in nearly a decade. And allow me to elaborate on that very point. A Cinderella team, I'm talking about a team that literally comes out of nowhere. When everything seemed to be lost, done, complete no chance, you come out of nowhere and you go on an unprecedented run to win a championship. And as I mentioned, baseball hasn't seen anything like that in a decade, not since that 2011 St. Louis Cardinals team. Because the thing that I remember most about that team, and this is, we're coming on 8 years now. In fact, this is 8 years since that championship team, for example, that I'm using. that that team started on the morning of August 25th of 2011. And I remember this very, very well. At that morning, that this was a team that was good as done. Remember, this is 1 year before Major League Baseball introduced the second wild card. They were 10 and a half games out of the wild card. There was only one wild card. Keep that in mind. Not only did the St. Louis Cardinals go on an absolute tear, but they win the wild card. They upset the best team in baseball in the Philadelphia Phillies in the divisional round. They beat the second best team in the National League in the Milwaukee Brewers and the NLCS. But they also beat the Texas Rangers in an unforgettable Game 7 of the World Series that year that really started the night before and truly, and I do mean sincerely, truly one of the most unforgettable Game 6 of a World Series that we've seen in our lifetime. And this is no hyperbole. This is no exaggeration. So what I'm saying is that when you have completed, let's say, more than half of a season in any sports, you are who you are. And I have to say that when you look at the NBA, for example, at the halfway halfway point of the season, you have a clue as to who is a playoff contender, who could be your potential NBA championship contender. And those that are just hanging around, you know, trying to cling on to the number eight seed and so forth. And when I mention about Cinderella teams, in the NBA, it's so rare. It's incredibly rare that you have a number eight seed go to the NBA Finals when you are essentially more often times than not looked as an afterthought. Like, they're a bottom feeder. They're number eight seed. What could they possibly do to go on a sustained run here? To be brutally honest, the NBA hasn't seen a Cinderella team, being brutally honest, that made it in the very least to the NBA Finals. You want to know how long it's been? Since 1999, and that was the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks. And this is just quickly touching on another point. This goes to show you how bad of an organization that the New York Knicks have been for the last 20 years. The New York Knicks, the last time that a number eight seed made it in the very least to the NBA Finals was that 1999 New York Knicks team. That goes to show you that in the NBA, Cinderella teams are an absolute rarity to make it to the NBA Finals, let alone win an NBA championship. Very rare. The NFL, it's happened. It's happened in recent history where the number five seed has won the Super Bowl. And the one team that comes to mind, and Patriot fans, you're going to want to cover your ears for this one, the 2007 New York Giants. 2007 New York Giants. They were a wild card team. Because remember, the Dallas Cowboys won the division that year. And we all know what happened and remember what happened in Super Bowl 42. I don't need to remind Patriots Nation what happened. So what I'm saying to you is this morning. When you're about 65% of the way through the season, you're not fooling anybody. You're not tricking anybody. It is awfully hard and it's awfully difficult to suddenly galvanize and get hot to make a run and to go as far as winning it all, especially when you're so far out of the division race and you are rapidly falling behind the wild card race. It's awfully hard to suddenly put it all together and make a run at the darn thing. It's hard. There is one thing in particular that does stand out. Especially, and I mentioned about Cinderella teams being an absolute rarity in professional sports, especially in the last 20 years. Hockey. You want to know what the thing that's amazing about the NHL, especially the Stanley Cup playoffs in particular? Is that oftentimes we have seen things that has never happened in the history of the NHL and even the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's truly the beautiful thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs. You never know what you're gonna get, and you never know what's going to happen on any given night. You want to talk about, continue this theme about teams coming out of nowhere to win a championship? You had the 2012 Los Angeles Kings, the 2011-2012 Los Angeles Kings. They are the first and the only team in NHL history to win a Stanley Cup as an 8 seed out of the West and beat the New Jersey Devils in 6 games. And that tells you something. But people are going to be like, well, it's happened before, it can happen again. Again, it's rare. It is an outlier. And to suddenly apply the outlier into what your perceived notion of the norm is in sports, you're shoving down your throat a very painful lie. You are who you are. 65% of the way through the season. There's no getting around it. If you are a team that plays well, executes, doesn't make mental mistakes on a nightly basis, that's who you are as a team. But if you are a team that constantly drops the ball and you're constantly playing but from behind, that you're constantly having to find that edge because you can't seem to find it. When it suddenly, a year ago, it was there in spades, you are who you are. You're not going to fool anybody at this point in juncture. And if you are a team in which that you've been left for dead, quote unquote, preferably sports talking here. If you are a team that has absolutely been forgotten, quote unquote, those teams are the teams that usually are the most dangerous. We know that. We've seen that in professional sports all across. And the fascinating thing about it is that if you are a team that won it all the previous year, at this point in juncture, your question should be the following. What are we doing? And what are we going to do? Where are we heading? Because at this point, if you don't have the answer to those questions, you have a really big problem. I'm serious. You have an absolutely big problem on your hands. And I can't help but to really genuinely think that you can try to dance your way around it. You can try to manipulate the masses. But if you're dealing with an educated fan base, you can't dance your way away from the criticism, especially when it's deserved. And that's a fact. Coming up next after this music break, somebody in Boston needs to absolutely man up. Absolutely grow a pair. You're not going to want to miss this segment coming up next. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show, and this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. We'll be back after this music break coming up right now.
Ooh, I'm home.
This is your sofa speaking. I've been waiting for you all day.
Wait, hold on. I am being sweet talked by the couch?
That's right. Just sit down here on your comfy couch and don't move a muscle.
Mm.
Let's just sit and watch TV.
Oh, I really shouldn't.
Come in, let me give you some sugar. You still love chocolate, don't you?
Back off, couch man.
Dorothy?
I'm tired of what you're doing to my friend. Ayana, don't let him sweet talk you.
But baby...
That's enough from you. Let's go window shopping, girl. Like maybe for a new couch.
When temptation is calling, call on your sisters to provide you with the motivation and love you need. Eat right, get active, and reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Go for success with the power of sisterhood. For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Like a ghost. That's always when I want you most. I can't remember where I am. Been staring at the clock again. And I don't want to burn it down. Because if I knew you won't come. I'm gonna
haunts me like a ghost. That's always when I want you most. I can't remember where I am. Been staring at the clock again. And I don't want to burn it down. Because if I do, you won't come around. In my dreams every night, you will take me by surprise. Like a drug I abused, I want to, but I have to. Oh, 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 I'm stoned on you.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, and this is the Shukri Wright Show, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And something got me thinking this week, as a matter of fact, and this has everything to do with the aggravation that David Price really is, not even become, that he really is. Ever since his arrival to Boston. And in case if you haven't heard, David Price got into it a couple of years ago. This is 2 years ago. This was during the 2017 season, the final year in which John Farrell, the incompetent manager that he is, was the head man of the Boston Red Sox. He got into it with Nesson's color analyst and Baseball Hall of Famer Dennis Eckersley after he called him out basically on the air without mentioning his name. So the absolute child that David Price is decided to confront him on the team plane. And to the applaud of several teammates that were on the plane, he basically cursed him out. Unfortunately, a grown man, a professional sports athlete, cursing out someone who was his elder, who happened to be doing his job on television. And you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I am taking phone calls this morning. The absolute man-child that this man is, it truly baffles me that 2 years later, he brings it up again. He brings it up again. Why? I don't get it. I genuinely don't understand. What is it with this man? I really believe, and I'm starting to really think, that this man is really insecure. Like, honestly, if you lack that much self-confidence, if you lack that much, you lack that much ability to tune out the noise and to go out and do your job and do your job well, sir, you have a problem. You really have a major problem on your hands. And the thing that's really troublesome in all of this is that no one, and I mean no one, brought it up except him. And which to me, it truly baffles me. it baffles me because you choose to absolutely go the opposite route of handling things the right way when you had the chance. And I'm going through the Twitter feed. And this was from earlier this week. So I believe this was Tuesday. That WEEI published an article on their website, in which that it was originally published by the Boston Globe by Chad Finn, in which Eckersley, Hall of Famer and color analyst for Red Sox broadcast on NESN, he talked about his feelings about the incident with David Price on that airplane 2 years ago. And this is what he said. He said, quote, "I didn't know how to deal with that. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him never. I don't really give a expletive one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other," end quote. Now, again, I want to refresh your memory. This is stemming from an incident that happened 2 years ago this month. Eduardo Rodriguez had made he basically made a comment about Eduardo Rodriguez's stat line in a minor league rehab start when Rodriguez was making his way back from an injury he sustained that season. And on a telecast, he said, "Yuck," in reference to Erod's stat line. And as I mentioned, Price basically confronted him, saying, "Ho-ho, this game is easy. He's the best to ever do it. Ha-ha," and basically cursed him out. Here's the issue that I have in all of this. 2 years later, Price, if you had a problem with it, you could have put him over to the side. Instead of doing what you did in front of a team, you call yourself a leader and you think of yourself as a leader. This is not what a leader does. Not even in the slightest. Come on now. If you have a problem with someone who rubbed you the wrong way and frankly had nothing to do with you, what you should have done is say, "Hey, you know what? Let me come highlight you for a moment. Hey, my man, listen, we need to talk. Hey, listen, I need to talk to you. I'm gonna need to talk to you for a moment. Yo, what's the deal? Huh?" Instead, you absolutely choose to railroad him when he least expected. You absolute sackless coward. That's what a coward does. You can't call yourself a man if you're going after someone who is your, not only who is your elder, and even if he was in the wrong, there's a way that you go about handling situations. I mean, it's absolutely absurd that 2 years after the fact, now, this story wants to resurface. Because honestly, I honestly thought that the hatchet was already buried, that people have already moved on. Clearly not so much. Because if the Boston Globe is going to turn around and ask one of the two parties that was involved about what happened 2 years later, I really don't understand that. Clearly, what's done in the dark will always come to light. There's no question about that. And clearly, this was never resolved. We all thought it was resolved at that time. At least, most of us did. But this clearly showed that it never was. So here's my problem with you, David Price. Take it or leave it. The problem that I have with him is this. You awfully decided like an absolute child that you were going to act in the manner in which you did. And here's what makes it worse. I'm actually live on the air right now. I'm going to read a couple of tweets. This is from 2 days ago. One of his followers said, quote, "Your actions and comments were out of line. Like what he said or not, he knows exactly how hard the game is, and his spot in Cooperstown proves it. You could always man up and apologize, but something tells me that this just isn't your style." Quote. David Price on his Twitter replied, "I had a meeting set up to apologize to him, and he backed out that day. Get your facts right." Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Congratulations. You keep trying. He backed out. But you know what? If you have any type of contrite or remorse, you don't stop. You don't give up. Especially if you're a man of character, which clearly you're lacking character in this situation. And especially in the way that you've handled that whole thing, and especially now that it's resurfaced. Oh, my. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then to add insult to injury, and again, as you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, that's 855-915-9636. Last night, you go out and you laid an absolute egg. Or should I say, you absolutely just completely laid a rotten one. You basically crapped the pants. You gave up in your first start since this whole thing started up again on Tuesday. You gave up 6 runs last night in 4 innings. And to make matters worse, this was your opportunity to continue to prove that you turned a new leaf in terms of your career as an athlete in this city, in this region, but you've done neither. And if I may remind everybody, David Price, in his first start after that whole Ecclesy incident 2 years ago, was scratched because his first start was going to be at home. Like an absolute wuss. He was scratched due to injury, and I'm using air quotes. So, in my honest opinion, and it really is a shame that David Price, you have no sack. You have no integrity. You have no character. And to add all of that together, I really am just ashamed that here we are Not even a full year after you go out, you win the World Series, nearly single-handedly dominate the way that you did last October, you're still acting like an absolute man-child. You're so insecure with yourself and in the way that you handled yourself with the media, not just recently, but the last couple of years. You are so insecure. That is absolutely mind-boggling, to me at least, that you have all of the quote-unquote Trump calls, supposedly in your words, yet this isn't enough for you. You finally proved the doubters, quote-unquote, and there was a lot of them, including myself, could have won a playoff game, did all of that, and then some last October. But yet, all of a sudden, you are still demonstrating childish tendencies. And Price, I really have to wonder. We know that you don't like it here. It's that simple. We know that. We all know that you do not like it here in Boston. But my question to you is this. What is your real problem? Seriously, what is your real problem? The question that no one has asked Price so far is, what on earth is your problem with everybody, and especially the media in particular? Huh? Can you honestly look at the beat writers, the reporters, the broadcasters in this region, in this town, and honestly answer that question. What is your problem with the media? Huh? Please tell me. Absolutely senseless and absolutely ridiculous. We are going to go on music break. And when we return, we're still going to continue to talk about the Red Sox. And frankly, last night's game is a continuation of exactly what has been wrong with this team since the start of the season. I am just shaking my head in absolute, not surprised, not even disappointed, that so many people are still in denial over the reality of this 2019 Boston Red Sox team. We're gonna talk about it a lot more. Plus, take your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. This is Shukri Wright, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we held goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Thank you. Barnsby, and whenever I'm in Boston, I listen to WMFO 91.5 on your radio dial.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, and this is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. We're continuing with Red Sox talk this morning, and you know, last night the Red Sox lost yet again, this time to the lowly Baltimore Orioles, 11-2, and David Price didn't pitch well at all. He went only four innings, gave up six earned runs, struck out four, and well, the only offense that the Red Sox ever got last night was the 2-run home run by Sam Travis, and that was it. So, and not just because of last night's loss in particular, but if you look at the big picture for this team, I really have to admit that there is something truly irritable about this 2019 Boston Red Sox team. I mean, there really is. And again, feel absolutely free to give the show a call. 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. This team, and I know I talked about it, especially in the first ever broadcast of this show, that this team, for whatever reason, can't seem to get out of its own way. And frankly, it's maddening to watch. You have the whole David Price saga this week that resurfaced from 2 years ago in his drama with Dennis Eckersley, of Nesson. And to make matters even worse, you go out last night and against a team that you should be absolutely beating. No question, you should be beating the worst team in baseball in the Baltimore Orioles. However, this team cannot get out of its own way. I don't get it. And then the two errors that the Red Sox committed last night did not help matters at all. It just didn't. And I really am just amazed that here we are on July 20th. You really want to be able to have hope that this team can turn it around. But here's the issue. And this is the issue that I have this morning. How many times have we seen that count out the Red Sox at your own risk? Count out the Red Sox if you're foolish. I wouldn't count them out. They can turn that flip any time. You know, this is the same team that won the World Series last year. You know, they're going to turn out that proverbial switch. They'll be fine. You want to know something? I want to tell you this straight up. You just won 3 out of 4 against the Toronto Blue Jays. And the issue now is that you won 3 out of 4 at home, which is fine. Coming off a great start by Chris Sale. Much props. I'll give credit where it's due. In which he struck out 12 and he looked like the Chris Sale of old. But you shouldn't be losing to teams like Baltimore. They are exactly who we think we are. A team loaded with World Series championship caliber talent. They proved it last year. Last year is done. But this year they continue to make errors and mistakes on the field that you just didn't see for them last year. So I can't even begin to sit here and try to defend what we're witnessing from these Red Sox. Because simply put, they're not good enough. They're not good enough. They're not good enough to win a world title again this year. They're not. Someone would say, well, this is the same roster that won a World Series. Of course, they're going to be good enough to get into. Well, here's the problem. Just because you brought back 85% of your players from last year's World Series winning team does not mean that you're guaranteed success the following year again. Should I dare remind you of the 2014 Red Sox 5 years ago? You won the World Series with that team. Yes, there was some roster turnover going into 2014, but still, you're still good enough. But for whatever reason, that team fell apart and finished in last place. So, not comparing the 2019 team to the 2014 team and saying that they're the same. No. But what I'm saying is that you are a team in which that you thought you had it all figured out, and baseball is a humbling game. When you think you figured it out, it'll quickly remind you that you haven't had a clue. You absolutely have no clue at all. You have to understand and realize something about this Red Sox team in 2019. And if they don't make the playoffs, because right now that is a very real possibility, especially when considering that they are 3 games behind the second place wildcard team in the American League. And not to mention that they're 11 games back out of first place behind the Yankees, who are an absolute juggernaut. The truth is that when you look right now, being honest, if you look at Cleveland and Oakland, the two teams ahead of you, and dare I even say Tampa Bay, I'm going to be frank and say that, heck, they all may be better than you as a team. They may very possibly be better than you. And the thing that I find that's truly remarkable is that we are now how many games into the season? How many? 89? 90? About 80. The Red Sox have played 89 games into the season. I really want to ask you this following question. Why is it that this team has yet to turn on that switch and be able to build upon it the way that they were last year? I'm going to ask a very honest question. Very, very, very honest question. Here's something that's truly amazing. In terms of the stark contrast between the two teams, last season, at this time, 98 games in, the Red Sox were 38 games above 500. They were 68-30 just last year. Same exact point. This year, they're 89 games. That's 99 games. So at this point a year ago, the Red Sox were already 38 games above 500. This team is barely 8 games above. Struggling to get out of their own way. The problem isn't offensively. Okay, last night, the only offense they were able to muster against a terrible team was a 2-run homer by Sam Travis. But Dave Dombrowski goes out and gets a pitcher and Andrew Kashner, formerly of the Baltimore Orioles, as your fifth starter. Nice. Nathan Eovaldi could be activated today, as soon as today, as a matter of fact, to make his return as the team's closer. But you've done nothing to absolutely address the biggest glare that your team needs, and that's the bullpen. And there was a story I saw a couple of days ago that actually got me really annoyed. That the Red Sox are potentially, and I say potentially, this article was actually from Nesson.com. I'm not even kidding. Go look it up. That they were potentially, possibly looking into adding another bat onto this team. I literally was like, you don't need a bat. You do not need a bat for this lineup. The offense is not the problem. You need help in the bullpen. If this is a grab to get more ratings for Nesson, then guess what? You get what you deserve. And that is a team that will not make the playoffs. You get what you deserve. And I'm going to tell you something. 11 days ahead of the trade deadline right now. If they go out and get another bat and still neglect the bullpen, I'm going to tell you this straight up right now. The Red Sox, they get what they deserve. Top to bottom. They get what you